the time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City, America. Happy Thursday, everybody. Ball games are starting today at all the tournaments in Western Oklahoma and all kinds of good stuff going on. Let's check out some temperatures before we dive into the show. 34 degrees at Beaver, 37 at Arnett, 43 at Hollis, 42 at Hobart, 35 at Fairview, Medford's 32, and the May Ranch is 32. Out here in the Panhandle of Texas, 36 at Lipscomb, 37 at Miami, 41 at Wellington, Childress, 42, and Odell, south of the River Bridge, 44 degrees. Well, I want to check one set of cows this morning, break the ice on the tank and everything. I had a set of twins, and sadly, neither one of them survived from the mama. And anyway, it's just a sad morning out there on that little Ponderosa. I got four other live babies happening out there. I have no clue what happened. She looked like she might have struggled a little bit. There's no telling. One of them could have been turned backwards. They both could have been hung up together. And both of them were heifers. And anyway, sad day for some babies. I hate that when that happens. You could tell the mommy was sad. So other than that, nothing else crazy, just normal stuff that we got going on the farm and ranches right now, winter feeding. And what else was I going to talk? Oh, I know what I was going to talk to you guys about. I got this earlier from a couple of people, and coming up January 25th, I guess that's this Saturday, from 4 to 9 p.m., at the County Barn, there in Sayre, the Southwestern Oklahoma's Firemen's Club. Come and join us for a chili fundraiser dinner. From 4 to 9 o'clock at the County Barn, there in Sayre, the Southwestern Oklahoma Firemen's Club. Come and join us for some chili. Be a good day to have some chili. Also coming up tomorrow, let me bring up this email real quick. Where is it at? Patience with me. I wasn't prepared for this. Or I was. There we go. Got her. So tomorrow, Micah Anderson from the Langston University is going to be on the show with Briley and me tomorrow. And he's from the Langston University Co-op Extension Climate Smart Agriculture. And coming up February 1st, a week from this Saturday, at the Western Technology Center right here in Elk City, between Langston and the Land Conservation Assistance Network and the OSU Extension, there's going to be a deal there from 7 a.m. to 3:30. It's an all-day deal. If you can't be there all day, try to be there for most of it. It's going to be a pretty cool day. Topics include horticulture's latest technology, nose to tail with small ruminants, and therapeutic gardening and honeybee keeping, and gardening tools and stuff like that. Our own Brian Pritchard and his daughter, Miss Briley, that's going to be here tomorrow. They're going to be actually teaching one of the classes on it. If you're in, if you want to learn more about the tricks and some of the other stuff on plastic culture, this is a really good event to be part of. free registration. It's really easy to register, and I'm going to put this out on KCO's Facebook page, Am I Only, and it's got a barcode in there for you guys to register. I think, Micah's going to be on tomorrow on the show with, like I said, at 12:30 tomorrow, and we'll talk more into details on what this is going to be about. It's going to gardening, honeybee keeping, all kinds of stuff. It's going to be really February 1st from 7 a.m. to 3:30 here at the Western Technology Center here in Elk City, just right over here by Tractor Supply. So more details on that tomorrow. And why do I have a reminder? All right. Okay, let's see what happened in our big old world of agriculture. Grain and soybean futures were lower in overnight trading amid favorable weather in Brazil and on concerns about demand from China. Relief may be in store for parts of South Brazil and Paraguay in the next week, according to the Commodity Weather Group. In a note to its clients, in northern Brazil, dry weather will aid early soybean harvest, but the weather is expected to turn wet again. Concerns about demand from China, the world's largest importer of soybeans, are weighing on prices this morning. The USDA's attaché in Beijing said in a report that China's grain output is now estimated at 706.5 million metric tons. That's up 1.6% due to increased planted area and higher yields. Corn production is now forecasted at 295 million metric tons. That's a 2.1% increase also. And wheat output was increased, will increase 2.6% to 140.1 million metric tons. Rice production is projected to improve 0.4% to 145.3 million metric tons. Lower corn prices boosted corn use in feed and industrial applications, reducing reliance on wheat and rice in that report. Corn imports are forecast to fall 14 million tons from 23.4 million the previous year, while wheat purchases are forecast to fall 37% amid improved domestic output. Corn futures fell 1 cent to $4.83 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Wheat for March delivery lost 2 3/4 cents to $5.51 a bushel, while Kansas City futures were down 2 1/2 cents to $5.72 a bushel. Soybean futures for March delivery lost soybean futures for March delivery dropped 2 3/4 cents to $10.53 a bushel. Soy meal lost 70 cents to $3.15.10 a short ton, and soy oil lost 0.1 cent to 44.41 cents a pound. Australian wheat output will rise to the third highest level on record in the current marketing year despite challenges during the growing season, according to the report from the USDA in Australia. Production will jump to 32 million metric tons in the 24-25 marketing year, the agency said. That's unchanged from an earlier forecast and up from the 26 million tons Australian farmers produced a year ago. Planted area is up 10% from the prior 10-year average, and the production estimate is 20% higher than normal. Achieving this result will be extraordinary given the seasonal challenges faced by growers in southern New Wales, Victoria, South Australia, and Western Australia. In contrast, northern New South Wales and the Queensland, might experience favorable conditions, but typically collectively account for less than 20% of the national wheat production. Output estimates were supported by grain received from the Grain Corp, the country's main grain handling firms. Australian wheat exports, meanwhile, would jump 26% to 24 million metric tons this year. This would be the fourth highest level on record, according to the USDA. Let's see what's happening in our big old world of weather. Not a whole lot. Looks like Iowa and Illinois got some light snow going on, and snow showers all across eastern Illinois. Other than that, all I seen on Facebook yesterday was some farmers taking the day off and ice fishing in Georgia. Tell you what, farmers can have a good time when their sense of humor is good. All right, let's see here. Today is the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. Let's go ahead and take a Farm Bureau break. When we come back, we'll have the Lipscomb Dealerships Grain Market Update. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom backs, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We do a ton of wholesale work with your mechanic shops, but it's also the DIY guy that has Saturday afternoon off. He comes in Saturday morning, picks up his stuff, and works on his pickup. It's a wide range of people. It can vary from the biggest shop in town to the smallest shop in town to your guy that works in his garage on the weekend.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
If you've got a job that's going to take some heavy equipment and skill, call Johnny Evans at Double J Dozing and Excavating. He specializes in building ponds and making pads for barns and sheds. He'll clear land and trees, he'll make roads, he'll do terrace work, and even fix washouts. Johnny can do most anything that involves a dozer or an excavator. He's ready to go to work in this area, so give him a call or text at 580-339-6854. That's Johnny Evans and Double J Dozing and Excavating.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Yes, just got a message from one of the listeners. Yeah, there's a lot going on February 1st. So we got the 12:15 at the Red Barn Arena in Cheyenne. We got the 47th annual Western Oklahoma all-breed bull sale coming on to you from Roger Mills, put on to you by the Roger Mills County Cattlemen's Association. We got the gardening in the honeybee class, and then, yes, the elite auctions going on out here by the sale barn at Elk City. All I can tell you is find you a buddy for the bull sale. You can monitor the elite auction sale from your phone while you're listening. Taking class. I mean, it's pretty simple, people. Come on. Modern technology. All right, let's check out some weather out here in the panhandle of Texas. Wellington, 37. Wind chills at 29. Humidity's 31. Dew point's 9. The winds are out of the north at 13 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today, 25 miles an hour. 13/100ths of an inch of moisture. 602 sub-freezing minutes today, 8-inch soil temperature, 32 degrees. All right, let's see what the Lipscomb dealership's grain market is looking like right now. Not too shabby, I don't think. Everything looks like it's in the green except oil and wheat. There we go. All right, grains. Currently, right now, March corn, 493, up 9.5. May is 503, up 9.75. Soybeans for March, 1073, up 17. It's also up 17 for May at 1085. Soybean meal creeping back up there. March, 318.60, up 280. May, 326.10, up 270. Soybean oil, March, 45.32, up 90. And hard red winter wheat, March, 574 down a half. May is 584 down one. Cotton for July, 17. Ooh, that's sugar. There we go. July, 69.69, up 32. And West Texas Intermediate crude oil, March, 74.86, down 58. Natural gas is down a little bit at 390 for February. The Nasdaq's in the red, the Dow and the S&P are all in the green. Let's check out the meats. Live cattle for February, 275, up 70. April, 235, up 57. When's the last time you guys ever seen those numbers? Feeder cattle, January, 277.50, up 45. March, 273.72, up 65. April, 272 even, up 70. Lean hogs, February, 82.12, up 65, and April's unchanged at 87.27. Woo! Yeah, it hit the 200 mark yesterday, and social media blew up. Okay, let's see here. All right, I got a question for you farmers out there, if you feel like replying back to me. You don't want to give me your name or nothing. I just, but after I get through this story, I would like to hear some of your suggestions. I've seen this on the Ag Web. So where do farmers plan to cut costs in 2025? Here is the latest results from the latest Ag Web poll. A recent Ag Web poll asked farmers where they plan to cut costs. Equipment purchases top the list, but farmers also plan to scale back on fertilizer rates, use more generic products, and reduce tillage or field passes. Let's see here. The theme that consumed the crop side of agriculture in 2024 was this tighter margins, with producers from coast to coast searching for ways to cut back. It's no secret 2024 was a tough year across the U.S., and California was no different, says Clayton Hoschkin, CEO of Button Willow Warehouse Company, which is located in Bakersfield. A lot of the crops we produce were under significant price constraints while costs were going up. It was tough. Tough recipe for a lot of farmers. The tough recipe also impacted farmers in the upper Midwest, and it could be a similar story for 2025. Growers realize that margins are very tight on corn and soybeans and also wheat. They're looking for places to intelligently cut, says Steve Hoffman, an independent crop consultant out of Wisconsin. The first place to cut was machinery, according to this poll, out of more than 1,300 farmers who responded to the online poll. The most glaring answer was machinery. Nearly 80% of farmers say that's an area they're likely to cut. Equipment is on the forefront of everybody's mind right now, says Casey Samore, general manager of Machinery Pete. Purchasing machinery was also a place farmers decided to scale back in 2024. The latest Association of Equipment Manufacturers flash report shows sales of total farm tractors was down 13% on the year, and combines was down 24%. He said that instead of farmers buying a new piece like a planter or tractor, more are choosing to retrofit what they already have. I'm an upgrade kit guy. I think the future of farming, as you look at what's going on, says Samore, to me is one of those things where you can take it and make new what you got a significant less amount of money than you would have if you went out and bought the brand new sprayer, planter, whatever. You can take what you got and make it new again. According to the latest AgWeb poll, 60% of farmers also say slowing technology upgrades is likely. 9% said that decision is unlikely. I think if you look at the last 5 years of how much technology has been put out into the marketplace, pre-COVID all the way through COVID and where we are now, the amount of technology that got produced during the time frame was epic. It was probably the highest amount of technology that got produced and put in the marketplace across the board in my 20-year career in equipment business. Technology is just one of those things where a lot of guys are still trying to get their arms around what they got. And I think they're looking at it going like, I don't really need to add a new gadget this year. Let's get with what kind of figure out what we got right now. Let's utilize those efficiencies. Let's get through 2025 and let's take a look at 2026 and see what happens. While equipment seems to be an area in focus, the AgWeb poll found more farmers are adjusting their agronomics decisions based on how margins look, with 61% saying they're likely to use generic products. There are expensive programs, and there are programs that either through generics or maybe chemistries that have been on the market a few years that may do just as good a job as some of the premium new programs, says Hoffman. They're definitely a place where growers can still get good weed control by smart shopping, looking at an alternative herbicide programs. But Hoffman cautions in making the switch blindly, as he says not all generics are created equal. That's a very confusing market. You really have to drill down to know what active ingredient. Prices of key herbicide prices like glyphosate plummeted last year, and it left farmers trying to navigate where prices go from here. We're coming off kind of a funky part of the cycle, he says, obviously, where we have excess supply globally coming into the market. Distributors cut back on their sales. It's caused a huge amount of impact on the earnings, but there's kind of issues with production coming out of China, which is really the hub of a lot of these active ingredients. There we go. As Taylor said, as costs were coming down, growers were canceling orders. All those pressures caused the prices of active ingredients, which are used in key herbicide products, to also fall. Reducing fertilizer rates. Herbicides may not be an area where farmers cut back on the amount of product they use, but the AgWeb poll found 40% of farmers planning to reduce fertilizer rates. And I think the first place that is we can talk to growers, we talk about phosphorus and potassium. Maybe some of those rates can be cut back, says Hoffman. While farmers cut back in some fields, Hoffman cautions farmers against cutting back across the board. Look at those soil tests. I'll amen that one. Find those fields that may be in the non-responsive range and cut back, or don't put fertilizer on some of those fields. Another option in fertilizer would be look at the banded application of banding the fertilizer closer to the planter and going more efficient than a broadcast. And that's going to allow you to cut back the rates. So where are the fertilizer prices going? As farmers look to cut back, what's the outlook on fertilizer prices? Taylor says potash prices are already starting to creep up. Potash generally seems quite plentiful, but there's a little bit of an upside on that. And I think if you compared this little bit towards the phosphates, which have been structurally high for a good period of time, says Taylor, there's a little bit of positive sentiment for growers and greater availability in the North American market. But Taylor says that reality is supplies on the global market are still tight, and countervailing duties have prevented some supplies from making it to the U.S. But one fertilizer that could see more supply this year is nitrogen. If there's any downside pricing pressure, it's probably more likely on ammonia over the coming 6 months, where you can see the wholesale correction in price in excess of $100 per ton in the next 6 months, probably. There you go. Do they have any advice for anybody? Oh, yeah, they do. So Taylor says, thinks nitrogen could see some relief. He reminds farmers that one slight change on the global market can inject chaos into the entire inputs market. Where you see ability to lock in profit and take risk off the table, you should take a decent amount of that, because everything I've just said could be blown out of the water with a stroke of a pen because of a geopolitic event, he says. As farmers look at critical decisions for this year, he said it's important for farmers to get back to the basics. Number one, do a crop budget. Look at those input costs and look at reasonable selling prices for those commodities. And then all those extra things we've added to the tank when we had $5 plus corn, ask yourself real, real hard if you're sure we're getting a good economic return for those types of products. I know I've seen some stuff on and off, some podcasts and some YouTube videos I've been watching, and I've heard it way more than just a handful of times, but bankers are have told some in some these podcasts that most farmers in 23 and 24 did not make any money at all. So it's just one of those things. I think it's time to think out your deal and diversify, because we don't need to lose any farms. I don't care if you're the little guy, the medium guy, or the big guy. We don't need to lose any more farmers or ranchers. We need to maintain what we got and just diversify your operation. You know, wheat, you're not making any money at $5 wheat. I don't care if you make 10 bushels or 100 bushels. But, you know, if you diversify your program by, you know, leasing out your wheat for pasture, or, you know, rolling up some hay, which the hay market is crap this year. And then, you know, combining is another thing. But where you draw the line. So it's one of those things. All right, let's take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We'll be right back after this.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hello, this is Kent Watkins, owner of SEI Agritech in Elk City. Are you looking for a new place to buy all of your livestock feed, seed, and chemical? Let SEI Agritech be your trusted place to get everything you need. We offer winter feed contracts, buy the bag or bulk. We carry Mixed 30 liquid supplement, Total Equine horse feed, Sure Crop fertilizer, Golden Harvest corn seed, Advanta hay grazer seed, and we also are an authorized dealer for livestock nutrition centers. Give us a call today, follow us on Facebook, come by and see us, SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC, the thing about tires is it only takes one of them to blow out to stop you right where you are. Good thing Blair Tire comes to you. South of I-40 and west of I-35, Nobody has more ag tires than Blair Tire and Feed. They'll have it when you need it. If you're stranded, Blair Tire finds you and fixes it. Getting you rolling again is where they hang their hat. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19 in Blair. All the name brand tires you want, service that can't be touched.
ASCO equipment may be new to Elk City, but our company is built on decades of dependable service. Whether you need sales, rentals, parts, or service, ASCO has you covered with top quality equipment brands like Case, Hitachi, and more. Stop by and visit us at our new Elk City location and see for yourself why ASCO is trusted by those who build, fuel, and feed Oklahoma. ASCO equipment, powering your projects across the Sooner State.
A bolt breaks on a spring tooth, a harrow, or a chisel. Your work in the field stops. Most people have two choices. Either use baling wire as a temporary fix, or drive 15 miles into town. There's a third option that'll get you back to work in only a few minutes. We'll bring a bolt bin to your place, and we'll keep it stocked for you. Camrock Supply. It's on South Main in Elk City next to Fred's Steakhouse. The website is camrocksupply.com. Staying supplied keeps you in the field, getting your work done.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, January 20th. 335 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 330 brought 430. 7 at 485 brought 347.50. 3 at 650 brought 267.50. 16 at 709 brought 271. 2 at 750 brought 266. 10 at 817 brought 265. 9 at 945 brought 237. 7 head of heifers at 484 brought 317.50. 4 at 508 brought 277.50. 7 at 532 brought 270. 5 at 610 brought 260. 21 at 785 brought 248. 6 at 897 brought 228. Butcher cows were 30 to 139. Butcher bulls brought 78 to 168. Bred cows were 1175 to 2175. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Exit 71 Clinton, Oklahoma sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6090.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. Picked a big city of Camargo right there on the north side of the bridge, headed towards Visay. 39 degrees, feels like 29. Dew point 17, the humidity's 42, the winds are out of the northwest at 20 with wind gusts up to 26. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 32 degrees, sunset at 5:54, 39 for a high today and decreasing clouds, 17 for a low tonight, and tomorrow, check this out, 50 degrees and sunny. It is going to be windy. It's always windy during the winter and early spring. So there's your updated forecast. Okay, you guys get your new copy of the Penny News. It's out, hot off the press. Matter of fact, you probably smear the print and it'll burn your thumb. It's so hot. Not really. Anyway, that the Jimmy's Bull and Female Sale Calendar is there on page number 6, the Roger Mills County Cattleman's Bull Sale coming up February 1st, the Bradley 3 Ranch LTD, February 8th at 10 a.m., and OK&T Angus Breeders, February 19th. Let the fun begin with the bull sales. Speaking of the bull sales, you guys might be a good opportunity if you hadn't had a crown rule sack or a sock on your bull's private areas to keep them warm. These cold fronts we've had the last couple weeks, might be a good time to get your bull tested, see if he's any good, and if you need to, replace him. Or if you got an older bull, even though he's been putting out the best calf crops ever, which every farmer says, so we got must have some of the best bulls in the world in western Oklahoma, maybe time to get rid of him, get you a new bull. All kinds of bull sales coming up here. So we'll, and I know there's some more getting ready to get listed here too. I did open up the page, what was that, number 11? And on the Roger Mills County one, you know, we got Matt Thornbro, Markham Angus there out of Wheeler. We got Twisted D Cattle, John Mollett, Black Hereford Ranch, Jenkins Angus Farms, Heath Cattle Company, Don Mahler. Just name some of the breeders coming to there. And let's see what else we got going. Oh, you guys got to read the story from Jerry Nine on building fence in there. It was too long, or I'd have read it on the show, but I will read this part. I guess he's picky. He very, very picky on his fence. He said, the other day I told one of the youngest boys helping them, see what was it here, and he said to get the post hole digger and put the pipes in the fence where they should have been when it would have been easier with the tractor. After examining the five posts, they were sticking a foot too tall. So I took my son to the fence and said, do those five posts look like the same height to you? And he responded, looks pretty close to me. Guess what? Pretty close wasn't close enough. And yes, I asked my son if I had the word stupid written on my forehead, and it was probably good that he didn't answer. So, check it out. Penny News, hot off the press. Also, our show today in Ag is live on 96.5 KECO, 100.1 KWFX, Facebook on KECO, Facebook page, on our website, KECOFM.com. Also, we have the Paragon Communication app, which is a free download on your phone, by the way, that you can listen to the show live. It's not recorded on there, but you can listen to the show live if you're out of radio land. And also today, starting Big Elk TV, is the Washington tournament going on. I don't have any times on any of the games here in front of me, but just go to BigElkTV.com and they'll be on there when the upcoming games, if they're not already playing right now. And then on ParagonTV.com, let's see here. We've got the tournament going on, Arapahoe Butler and Canute at the West Central Tournament at Swazoo, Thursday through Saturday. Merritt, Cheyenne, Raiden, and Hammond Bi-County Tournament going on at Merritt, I think that's where it is. And then the Cordell Tournament, Eric will be there. And then the Leedy Tri-County Tournament. All this on Paragon TV. It's in the heat of the basketball season, so check it out. Okay, I've seen this pop up again on the John Deere Right to Work on your John Deere tractor. Well, you guys probably already seen it, but the U.S. Federal Trade Commission filed a lawsuit against the farming equipment manufacturer Deere & Company, makers of the iconic green John Deere tractors, harvesters, and mowers, citing its longtime reluctance to keep its customers from fixing their own machines. Well, it's come up again, so I'm not going to get into the lawsuit and all that stuff. I was watching a YouTube video during my sick days there Saturday or Sunday, and this farmer from Georgia come on and made a YouTube, and it makes so much sense. So am I taking up for John Deere? Yeah, I am. I can work on my own tractor. I have Western come out and work on my tractors time. Matter of fact, twice in the last couple months. But I just want to let you know what this farmer said. He said, here they go. They're filing a lawsuit because of the right to work on your own tractor. He said, what's funny is when you walk into a John Deere dealership, no matter where you are in the United States, what's the first thing you see? The parts counters. That's exactly what you see. So if you can't work on your own tractor, why are you going in there buying parts? So stay with me here. I'm getting to some other points. So he said, you can buy your own parts to work on your own tractor. And he said, then, you know, he said, yes, we got this newer stuff with the government fuel on it, the DAP, if you want to call it, and all this other stuff. He said, but if you go get in your tractor, Behind your seat or somewhere in there is a manual to that piece of equipment. And he said, you open it up and it's got all kinds of troubleshooting pages in that manual. He said, now you go back there, and I don't remember exactly the example he used, but he said, you go back to this page where this is what the tractor's doing or the baler's doing or whatever it's doing. And he said, it gives you a code. Your tractor will give you a code. And he said, you go back there and you look at that code, and it gives you two, three, four things that you can fix. So he said, you can work on your own tractor. He said, yes, understand that little computer that John Deere has that they can plug into it and narrow it down to one thing. He says, yes. And he said, I understand that. He said, if they even leave the shop, their area, it's going to cost you so much money for them to come to your place. And that doesn't even include parts or labor. It's just going to cost you, what, $500 for them to come to your place. He said, that's the deal. But he said, you know, you got to understand they got 6 or 8 or 10 mechanics working in that shop. They got all this overhead, and things have got expensive to work on, just like anything else, like your own car. Take a Ranger to a Ranger dealership, you know, your side-by-side, your UTV. It costs money. All this technology's costing up. He said, I'm not taking up for the, yes, I know it's expensive. He said, but that's why, he said, I do have a really nice tractor here, but he said, I use my older ones because I can work on them a lot more. So taking up for John Deere on this right to work deal, you know, there, he said, you know, think about it. First thing you walk in there is parts counter. Second thing is you got a book in your tractor, or a book for your baler, or a book for your swather, or whatever. It's, you know, if you come up with a code, there's code back there. You can go back there, and you might have to fix four things to fix it, but John Deere's not restricting you from fixing it. So I just wanted to throw that out there. That was a really good YouTube video that guy talked about, all the stuff going on with John Deere and the right to work on your equipment. So there you have it. Let's go ahead and take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We'll be right back with some weather update for southwestern Oklahoma. Be right back after this.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
That's the sound of a fridge begging for mercy. Or how about that washing machine that sounds more like a rock band than a rinse cycle? Shy the Repair Guy has it covered. He'll fix anything from rebellious refrigerators to whining washing machines. If it plugs in and breaks down, call Shy the Repair Guy and let him turn your "why is it doing that?" into "that's better." For all your household appliance repair needs, call Shy at 580-243-9619 or Daryl 580-799-5433.
If you'd like to tackle those home projects yourself, like building a privacy fence or spicing up the place with some landscaping, you'll need the right tools to get the job done fast. Rent what you need from DJ's Rentals and Sales on South Main in Elk City. They have gas-powered post hole diggers for fence building, skid steers for hauling landscape blocks, and excavators for any type of digging that needs to be done. The best thing about DJs is the free advice. Stop by and talk to them about your next project.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
You've got a business to run and need vehicles to run it. We get it. Let Lipscomb Dealerships help you whether your company drives Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, or Ram. We've got the half-ton and heavy-duty trucks you need to get the job done at Lipscomb Dealerships. Six convenient locations for service across North Texas and Western Oklahoma. Call us today at 800-205-7130. That's 800-205-7130. Or visit LipscombDealerships.com and save more in the country. Lipscomb. Good people, great deals since 1979.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. Tipton, 46, feels like 40. Dew points 18, humidity's 33. The winds are out of the northwest at 13 with the wind gust up to 20. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 34 degrees. Sunset at 5:56, mostly sunny and 46 today, 21 tonight, and tomorrow 57 degrees and sunny. Nice tomorrow. It's going to be a little breezy, not bad. Gust up to 20, 25. Be a good day to go fishing maybe. I don't know. Try it out. Let's see what happens. All right. What do you guys remember the most about the year 1973? Anybody remember anything particular of that year? Well, why the 44, the Generation 2 tractors come out, the John Deere's. And the most famous of them all, the 4430. How many of you have not drove? No, how many of you not drove a 4430? That'd be the question. It's not how many have drove it, but how many have not drove one. That's an iconic tractor. There's still a bunch of them around. Oh, my gosh. But there were some interesting facts on the Generation 2 tractors here. And I think according to this author of this article, the 4430 was the most game-changing tractor in company's history. But was it just dumb luck? Personally, I think there was more to it, he says. As farming in America expanded very rapidly in the late 1960s into the 1970s, the needs of the farmer changed. They were planting more acres than ever before. That meant spending more time bouncing around on an open station tractor, which takes its toll on the body, not in the sense of coming home bruised and battered, but a long day in the field just wears you out. And when farmers get tired, accidents happen. Sure, that was there was plenty of aftermarket cabs available, as well as a few in-house options, depending on the manufacturer. However, I'm looking at some of the pictures of some of these Alice Chandler's tractors and some of the cabs that were put on them. Pretty cool. Funny now, probably pretty good back there. Sure, there was aftermarket cabs available, as well as in-house options. However, from where I'm sitting, those were an afterthought. They were typically pretty crude, cramped, and drafty. Yes, it kept you out of the elements, especially if old grandpa had beech nut or red man in his mouth and was spitting it on the floor. There were just a metal box with windows. They knocked the sound down a little bit, but not by much. Even the in-house options left a lot to be desired. John Deere saw then the current situation and knew it was a problem that needed addressing. When they began development of the Generation 2 tractors, they put two objectives higher on the priority list than anything else: operator comfort and safety. It wouldn't be easy to meet those goals, but it could be done. It would take some out-of-the-box thinking. It wasn't so much out-of-the-box thinking, it was more like throw-away-the-box thinking, at least where the priorities were concerned. That's what engineers in Waterloo, Iowa did, for a lack of a better way to say it. John Deere built the tractor around the cab, not vice versa. From the frame up, the Generation 2 tractors were engineered with a cab in mind. The SoundGuard cab was built as a part of the tractor, an industry first, and as far as I know, bushings under the cabs provided isolation from the vibration and heat buildup from the engine. Foam rubber door and window seals kept the dust at bay, and the use of sound deadening upholstery knocked the noise down to manageable levels. It wasn't just that, though. Engineers were challenged to create a cab that would comfortably accommodate 95% of the population. It wasn't easy, but they got it done. I'm living proof. I'm 6 foot tall, 6 inches. I'm 6 foot, 6 inches tall and built like an offensive lineman. Okay, an offensive lineman who hasn't been in the gym in a while. I'm quite comfortable in a sound guard. Did they hit the goal? Yes, in his opinion. They said when the Generation 2 tractors were launched, they reinvented the market's vision of a tractor. Nobody had seen anything like it. It was so different from the marketing team refused to use the term cab when talking about these machines. It was the SoundGuard cab. It was the SoundGuard body. Go check out old brochures and print advertising from the 1970s sometimes. Was it a gamble? Absolutely. Farmers aren't typically the first to jump on the bandwagon on a trend, but they did. The Generation 2 tractors, specifically the 4430, were a runaway success sales story. Listen to this. Here's the sales stat that will blow your mind. As far as I know, Deere has never officially published total production numbers for the 4430. But the first one was serial number 1,000. The latest serial number I've ever heard of is 79,045. So it's an unlikely event that the very last one, that means there's 78,000 of those tractors built, or a little more than that. If you crunch the numbers on the sales over a five-year production run, John Deere sold a 4430 every 34 minutes on the average from 73 through the end of 1977. One 4430 was sold every 34 minutes of every day of every year for 5 years. Let that marinate in your brain for a while. Here's a couple of them. I got a few minutes left. Here's a couple of them that sold lately. One was in Iowa, had 3,975 hours on it. What did it sell for? Didn't say. What? I thought it sold here. One owner machine, full weight. Huh. All right. Well, this one in Michigan's got a price tag on it. It sold for $44,000. It had 3,000 hours on it. And then one sold for $30,000 in Wheeler Auction somewhere up north, 3,900 hours on it. And then what did Sugar Daddy's climbing in on here? Let's see what he's mad about. Oh, he said this John Deere stuff you're talking about is making me puke. Wah. Turn the radio off. Also, earlier in the show, I was talking about what you can do to cut costs. I'm glad I got a lot of people that's with a great sense of humor. He said, I'm cutting costs by borrowing fuel from my neighbors. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, man, tell you what, this a lot of things coming up on these ranches and farms and cattle thieving and stuff, but I seen this in Beef Daily. A 60-year-old man, Stewart, Oklahoma man, was arrested on January 8th by the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association Special Rangers Cody Hyde and Gavin Guttrell. Faces 83 felony counts of larceny of livestock while for unlawfully selling cattle owned by his employers. Seems like there's a lot of that going around here the last 2 or 3 years. Just sad to hear this stuff. And you got somebody running your ranch and you can't trust them. According to the investigation, Morris transported stolen cattle to several livestock auctions where he sold them for over $108,000. All right, guess we'll see you guys tomorrow. Please tune in tomorrow. I'll have Mr. Micah Anderson from the Langston University Extension Office going to be on air with Briley Pritchard and me talking about the upcoming event next week, plastic culture on farming or gardening. See you tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jim Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of LCD in Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless.
John Deere, working the field. That's what country sounds like. 97.